popular demand.
The NBL One West Radio Show. All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL One West. The SKG Radiology, official NBL One West Radio Show.
Welcome along once again. The NBL One West Radio Show, round 16 is in the books. Just a couple of rounds to go, and I'm joined once again by Ben Pether. Welcome along back into the hot seat.
Yeah, Brett, thank you for having me once again. Plenty of big games on the weekend and a few upsets in particular.
A couple of the lowest scores I've seen in the NBL One West for a long time as well. The East Perth Eagles men not even breaking the half ton, and you were in charge of a really low scoring women's game, particularly at quarter time as well.
KO game of the round. We headed down the Forest Highway. We saw the Manager Magic take on the Goldfields Giants, and it was a slow start for both teams, really just feeling each other out. Of course, the Goldfields Giants women's team still in the hunt for the playoffs, and the Manager Magic getting the win in that one and cementing themselves in the top four.
We'll break down all of the games from last weekend, of course, as we go ahead across the next hour. Some special guests as well, including the general manager of the whole NBL One Australia-wide.
Yeah, in particular, we're looking forward to having a chat with him and also having a chat with Emma Gandini and Luke Brennan of the Warwick Senators.
Of course, we'll preview the games coming up this weekend and the run home for a few teams still jostling for those final positions as well, Ben.
Yeah, in particular, that position eighth on the men's side. You got the Perth Redbacks and the Perry Lakes Hawks really jostling right now to finish eighth and be a part of the business end of the season.
Jordan and I spoke about it last week, and although we saw that Hawks-Redbacks game as a pivotal one on the Friday, we still like the run home for the Hawks over the Redbacks, who have really got a pretty tough schedule in these last couple of rounds.
Yeah, it's interesting you do point that out, that strength of schedule probably favours the Perry Lakes Hawks, but when you've got the likes of Timms, Gutana and Grace, you're definitely in with a shot.
We'll break it all down for you over the next 60 minutes here on the NBL One West Radio Show.
The SKG Radiology, official NBL One West Radio Show.
Let's get this thing started.
The all-new NBL One West Radio Show.
Welcome back, NBL One West Radio Show, round 16 across the weekend. It was the third last round of the regular season in 2022. It all started Friday night with the women down there at Belmont Oasis.
Yeah, the Perry Lakes Hawks, we had Craig Mansfield, their coach, on the radio show a few weeks ago, and he talked about vying for that 7th or 8th spot. They took care of business there. They were led by none other than Emma Clark, who in a few weeks' time had those 22 points, 11 rebounds in a few weeks' time, heading over to the Flames over in Sydney. And Sarah Loomis as well had 16 points, 11 rebounds. But if they keep on winning, they'll cement themselves in the finals. They're also helped out by the Goldfields Giants, who on Saturday night they lost to the Manager Magic. So it just sort of solidifies their place in the top 8 now.
We had a chat with Janelle Morley of the Warwick Senators, their coach, last week, I think it was. She was aware of your prediction of the Senators kind of rolling right through the rest of this season. She said, no pressure. They're obviously taking it by game, the sort of standard coach's answer, I suppose. But they continued some great form on the weekend.
Absolutely. And when you come up against the likes of Jill Williams, Jesse Edwards, Kat Tudor and Alina Hartman, like, that's no mean feat. And to take them down by 36 points on their home floor, led by Leone Fibich with those 22 points, those 15 rebounds, but it was the multiple contributions. We saw Stacey Barr continue with that 19-6-6. Chloe Forster chipping in. She had those four steals. Really good for them on the defensive end. And it's a different look now for that Warwick Senators and that flexibility that she has. Nicole Jaw, Justin Jaw now coming off the bench. And it was interesting to hear that Janelle Morley had heard about that prediction. And look, besides the Joondalup Wolves game, they've really looked strong.
Two scores for them across the weekend in the 90s. So they're certainly putting up buckets, Senators.
Oh, when you have Stacey Barr on your team and you got the rebounding prowess of Burden, Clinch Hoycutt, will I say, she probably is not really noticed as much when you have Fibich, Burden and Barr. But let's not forget, congratulations to Mackenzie Clinch Hoycutt. She signed a permanent deal with the Perth Lynx. She was on the development contract. Now she's fully rostered as a full contract with the Perth Lynx now. And congratulations to her, because she stepped up big when some of those other bigger stars have had a quiet night.
An interesting tussle on the Saturday night saw the Tigers tested by the Rockingham Flames, sticking with the women. Eventually, the Tigers are getting up by just 3 points.
Yeah, and with the Tigers, they probably had... it's interesting to say It's been different year for them. Last year, they really were probably the front runners. They had Alex Sharp, who was new to the league. It was good to see her out there. And again, she stepped up on the Saturday night. Actually, she had 27 points, 12 rebounds, 6 assists. Des Kelly had the 22 points and the 10 rebounds. But it was one person who we haven't seen a lot of this season, and none other than Sam Lubke. She had the 18 points and 12 rebounds. So she's been carrying an injury into the season, I'm aware. And it'll be good to chat to Emma Gandini about how she's seen the season a little bit later on.
We alluded to it in the opener. A little bit of a struggle town down there in Mandurah. Just 48-35, the final score between the Magic and the Giants.
Yeah, the Mandurah Magic. And when you have the likes of Sarah Towina, Alex Whittinger, you got Casey Milo, Amy Brett. You really have some really absolute guns who can score the basketball. But look, Vladislava, all he could do is just shake his head and cross his arms, and he really had nothing he could do. And I think the score was 5-4 at quarter time. Both teams really feeling each other out. Of course, for the Goldfields Giants now with Klastorny and Gaddy out, a lot of their offense comes through McRae. And with 4 minutes remaining, they were still in the hunt, but there was a 2 minute stretch there from the Mandurah Magic, and realistically it should have been only a 3-5 point ball game, and the score line doesn't really actually reflect how close it was all night.
The Giants managed to bounce back on Sunday night against the Suns though, and sort of keep that slim playoff chance alive, I guess.
Yeah, and it gets really tough for them right now. They this weekend they've got the Coburn Cougars, Jesse Edwards, Jewel Williams, as I mentioned before. But look, they're still in the hunt. They banked wins early in the season, and they still could play a part in the finals.
Perhaps turning our eyes now to the men's. The Hawks going down on Friday night. That looked like a really pivotal game between them and the Redbacks. But the Hawks, interestingly, have still got the split based on a big win against them earlier on in the season.
Yeah, look, and with the Parallax Hawks and the Perth Redbacks game, I actually went along to that game. And look, it was some... The Parallax Hawks looked good in patches when they got the ball moving and they went side to side, and Matt Leary got involved and Eisenbarger hit some shots. But again, with the Perth Redbacks, when you have the likes of Tevin Jackson, who's just so solid, we all forget sometimes he's had NBL experience. He had the 20 points, the 9 rebounds. He looked really good out there. Lewis Timms, who's had NBL experience as well, as has Isaac Katorna, and he threw down some big dunks. I felt like there was a few contentious calls down the end of the stretch, which I think actually, I'm not going to say impacted the game, but it sent Ben Purser to the bench with those 5 personal fouls, and that really did impact the outcome. For the Parallax Hawks right now, it's their ability to be consistent with their scoring. They had Lewis Thomas coming off the bench. He's had an interrupted 2022. And as you said, with the strength of schedule, they could be playing a part. But with the Perth Redbacks, with their star-studded lineup as well, I think there's still plenty to play out in that matchup for the eighth spot, should I say.
The Warwick Senators with a bit of a mixed weekend, and maybe their lineup still sort of settling at the moment, going down to the Cougars in their first hit out of the weekend, but then bouncing back somewhat and getting one over the Lightning.
Yeah, look, and I think you can say this, and it's something probably interesting to note, is that you can only play who rocks up, and sometimes that can be for the benefit of your team, and sometimes that can be put you on the losing side. And I think for the Warwick Senators, it was less about what they produced, and it was how the Coburn Cougars performed on the road on Friday night. And it was multiple contributions, but there's one in particular, and I don't know if it was linked to this, but during the week, last week, there was Wildcats DP trials. Josh Hunt, this weekend, he won Player of the Week for this week. He had 28 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists. He went at 11 of 14. His efficiency rating was 33. He came to play all in 25 minutes. And he was also... Well, Carter Skaggs, he went 8 of 17 from the three-point line. He had 26 points, but it was the ever-reliable Gav Field who got everyone involved with 5 assists. Xavier Chan with 6 assists. And Pascal Chukwu, the true 7-footer, had 7 points, 13 rebounds. So for Friday night's game, the focus for me more is about the Coburn Cougars. They've really started to click, and it's been for not only for 2 weeks, but it's been for about 4 to 6 weeks now where they've consistently now found their rhythm. And the Warwick Senators, a lot of people have got them around the league playing in the grand final, but right now they find themselves outside the top four.
You touched on the Coburn Cougars and Gavin Field. He may have only got the 5 points on the Friday night, but Saturday night he came to shoot, hitting 10 of 12 from downtown.
Well, I don't think it's the first time. I think earlier in the season as well, correct me if I'm wrong, he had 8 to 10 triples as well. I think it was against the Bunbury Slammers. But yeah, he could shoot the basketball. And again, I said earlier in my Bryce or Bust, 5 most important players, I chatted to Coach Coop about it as well. And he said, absolutely, he's so important. He can guard their best big, and he can put points on the board on the offensive end.
If Carter Skaggs isn't dropping threes on you, you've got Gavin Field dropping threes. So Coburn, when they're hot, can certainly shoot the lights out.
Oh, no doubt about it.
And the Geraldton Buccaneers bounce back from last week's loss with actually a substantial victory over the Wolves.
Yeah, in particular, four out of their five starters all in double figures, multiple contributions from everyone. Malik Mounier, again, continuing to impress, having those 18 points. He was in Perth as well for the Wildcats development trials, along with Narkel, who's been really good for them. He didn't actually play on Saturday night, but again, those two boys, they're in the hunt for those DP places. And for the Joondalup Wolves, well, they probably just didn't get the output they would have liked out of their stars. And that makes it really hard to get a win up at Active West.
And the game that you were on the KO game of the round call for was the Mandurah Magic hosting the Goldfield Giants.
Well, it was a tale of two halves, really, in particular. And the first half was all the Mandurah Magic. They had 31 points in the second quarter. Jay Bowie was really lighting it up. He had double digits just in the second quarter alone. But then the Goldfields Giants, they just came out, and it was a contribution from multiple people. And someone I really want to identify, none other than Hamish Cummings, the Willerton Jr., who went into looking for multiple, I guess you'd probably say, extra opportunity and different looks. He's got the starting point guard position there at the Goldfields Giants. He had 25 points, had two steals. He really ran their offense, and LaFonso Smith chipped in with 11 points, 8 rebounds. But Dow as well, he was really, really tough for them. And in the fourth quarter, Bowie checked out. He looked like he'd hurt his foot, and it was sort of end-to-end stuff. The Goldfields Giants, but their ability to offensive rebound, they had 17 for the night. But more importantly, in the fourth quarter, and not having a matchup for Dow was the difference in that one.
As we rounded out round 16 action, then the Giants, after dispatching the Magic, actually went and lost to the Eastern Suns, and by some margin, 99-72.
Well, it was a late game. I can say this on their behalf. They didn't get out of the stadium till 10 o'clock on that Saturday night down in Mandurah, and I actually felt for their women's team because they were on the floor less than 12 hours later up the hill at Kalamunda. But for the men's side, well, look, the Eastern Suns, they continue. We've had Ben Ettridge on the show. He's talked about the young up-and-comers that he wants to go as long with the veterans. The weekend before, they rattled the Coburn Cougars and they took the Perth Redbacks right to the end. So the Goldfields Giants on the back of their back-to-back, losing that one. But we always say if they bank the wins at home and they split their double-headers, then they're all good. And right now, they're still sitting fourth.
Plenty of action across round 16. We'll be back on the other side of this to speak with the general manager of the NBL One Nationwide. Dean Anglin will join us on the NBL One West radio show.
At SKG Radiology, we care about your health and welfare. This is why we bulk bill Medicare rebatable services across all 20 SKG locations. Some exceptions may apply. Ask our friendly staff for details. Visit skg.com.au.
So good. All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL One West. The SKG Radiology, official NBL One West radio show.
Welcome back, NBL One West radio show. Brett Costello and Ben Pether with you. And as promised, we're now on the line with the general manager of the NBL One Nationwide, Dean Anglin. Welcome along to the show.
Hello, gentlemen. How are we?
Yes, very good. Thank you. I believe we're speaking to you from Brisbane. You've just wound up at one of the COE wildcard games. How has that been received sort of across the nation?
Yeah, tonight was an exciting night. So the Logan Thunder have now taken top spot in the women's wildcard. They sit 1% ahead of the Knox Raiders from NBL One South after a 34-point win tonight over the COE girls. So really exciting night for that program and a good challenge for the young girls off the back of their trip to WA.
We've had the COE teams over here, as you mentioned, as part of that wildcard series. Seemed to be a really fantastic initiative. Have you been impressed and pleased with the reception of it?
Yeah, I think it's got better as the year's gone on. So I think right at the start of the year, I'm not sure people really understood what the opportunity was. But as the year has gone on further and further, teams have become more and more aware of the fact that they can legitimately earn themselves a spot at the national final by performing really well against the COE. So definitely last week while we were in WA, and I was there for all four of those games, and tonight you could tell that the teams that are in contention for their conference finals, so top eight over in WA, the teams that are in contention for the top eight were definitely ready to go when it came to playing the COE last week. So yeah, I think the concept has certainly grown over the course of the year, and I think as we roll into you know, as we roll into next year, it'll only grow again because people understand exactly what it means.
Dean, Ben Pether here. Mate, you had the opportunity to come over here last week and see those four games with the Women's Centre of Excellence. And I know not only with the women but the men as well, the WA community have really enjoyed seeing some of their local talent come back and see where they've seen their junior careers sort of progress to the Centre of Excellence. What did you feel and what did you notice about the NBL 1 West and what did you like about it? And I guess on a more broader scale, what might be different about the NBL 1 West compared to the rest of the country?
Yeah, well, let me start with the COE component of it, Ben. So I think one of the concepts and the initial parts of the initiative were when we were talking to Basketball Australia about this concept of a wildcard series where they would play the top four teams from every state around the country was that they would actually get a chance to play in front of their family, play in front of their friends. They'd get a chance to play in every state and sort of spread the brand of the COE out a little bit further than it's been historically. Normally, the history of the COE and the AIS before that is that it's played in the Seabull competition in Victoria and then last year played in the Waratah League in New South Wales. This concept takes it to every corner of the country and you only have to look at what it's potentially going to look like next year with the teams that currently sit in the top eight in WA. You know, quite easily the COE could be heading to Jarrow and to Kalgoorlie. So, you know, that'll certainly be a challenge for them as a road trip to get over to the West and do those two games as well. So, firstly, I think, yeah, the COE, that wild card series has really got some great ability to take these kids and show them off to the rest of the country. And literally look back 1 year, Dyson Daniels was playing for the COE. Go back 2 years and you're seeing another, you know, you're seeing Josh Giddy playing in the COE team. So, you know, these kids are superstars on the making or on the rise, and it's great to be able to show them to everyone. So that's the first part, I guess, in answer to your question. I think that there's a really great opportunity to showcase the young kids, the young talent, and also build the brand of the Centre of Excellence a little bit more across the country. What did I see? Well, I was over there for 8 days. So I got over on Friday, landed Friday afternoon 2 weeks ago, and drove, after checking into the hotel, drove straight down to Mandurah. And caught the game down in Mandurah between Rockingham and Mandurah. Got there, I think, for probably the second half of the women's and stayed for the whole of the men's. What a great experience to get down there and see that stadium. I have seen it before, but I haven't seen it in action. These were my first NBL 1 West games that I've actually been in the state for. Obviously, COVID made it very tough for a Victorian to get to WA. In fact, it made it tough for anyone from Australia to get to WA. So, you know, it was good to see the stadium pumping. I then went to East Perth and Lakeside on the Saturday, so a couple of different experiences again from the Mandurah experience. Obviously, then the Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, I had COE wildcard games that I needed to be at and participating in. So that meant that I was going to go to those stadiums, East Perth. Where did we go? East Perth, and then on the Tuesday night, I'm having a mental blank right now.
We got Warwick.
Warwick, yep. Sorry, then Willerton, and then over to Joondalup on a Saturday night. So that was, you know, great to see those stadiums. What an amazing stadium they've got out at Joondalup. What the setup is phenomenal, and how they present their game night is probably better than anything I've seen in the country. So all credit to them for what they're producing out there. And then on Friday night, I caught Perth Redbacks at Belmont Oasis, and again, I've seen that stadium not in game mode and not in game setup. Just to see the work and the effort that goes in with, you know, the lights, the pull-up banners, the bar that's on court two, all of those things just to create a really, really good-looking game night, which, you know, is part of what we push with the clubs. We, you know, we really do push that it's got to look good on camera and look good in the stadium as well. And, you know, some of the stuff that I saw while I was over there for 8 days was very, very impressive. There's some good-looking stadiums over there. Real fan of the Lillerton Show Court. I love that. It's a nice little boutique stadium with the, you know, with the seats on both sides. So, you know, what a great experience to actually see it. Hopefully, I'll be able to get over there a few more times next year and have a look at some more games.
Well, that's a fantastic summary, I think, of your short 8 days. And I was, one thing we will agree with is definitely the, with us joining what was formerly the State Basketball League, now joining the NBL One West, is the game night experience, I believe, is the one thing that's critical that has actually changed and been for the benefit. We talk about going right around the country, and of course you are in Queensland right now. The national NBL One finals coming together in Melbourne a little bit later on. You officially announced the draw card today. Tickets are on sale. That's something that we can look forward to as each conference nominates their winner.
100%. I mean, we're really excited for this. It's obviously been, you know, many years in the making. You know, 2020 was supposed to be the first national final. It never eventuated. 2021, unfortunately, we got to a point where we had to make a decision to pull the pin on it. We had agreed collectively as all of the conferences that as long as we could get three states together, three out of the four states together to play a national final, we would play. And we had a cut-off date that we basically set as the date, which was I think it was a month out from the actual date. And unfortunately, there were travel restrictions in place at the time, so we had to make that tough decision to pull the pin on the second year in a row. So, you know, to finally get to a point, we're pretty confident that, you know, we've got clear air now. I mean, there's obviously a COVID issue still in Australia, and you know, we will deal with that as we need to, but we're pretty confident that we're going to be able to get this competition to come to fruition and see the best teams, the champions teams from around the country come to Melbourne. It was always going to be Melbourne for the first one, simply because the original agreement between the NBL and Basketball Victoria was the creation of NBL One. So that has been agreed to for multiple years that was going to be the location for the first one. And after that, it will move around the country. So, you know, it's going to be phenomenal. There's 18 games scheduled, 9 women's, 9 men's. Every team that comes to the national final will play 3 games, 1 on the Friday, 1 on the Saturday, 1 on the Sunday. So it'll be a really tough schedule for them. There are probably only, I'm going to say, four or five teams in the country that are used to playing triple headers, and they're all from far north Queensland or Darwin, because they fly into Brisbane or fly into southeast Queensland and play triple header weekends. So they're about the only ones, I think, that are physically prepared for it. You know, it's going to be tough on the players, but what an exciting weekend it's going to be. I think you touched on it, the draw came out today, so the champions of the West will play the champions of the Central in both the men's and the women's. We did two different draws. We did two random draws. The West and the Central both, in both cases, threw out each other. So, you know, keep an eye on what's happening in NBL One Central. You'll be able to see which clubs your teams might match up against. Look, we're really conscious of the fact we're going to bring teams in from all over the country into Melbourne, and we're going to have probably a bunch of games that require neutral fans to be there, because we want to put on a show still, and we want to make sure that, certainly for those that are in WA that don't attend the event, that are watching it on KO, certainly get a great experience. So, you know, I'm looking forward to it. We've got 6 weeks to go. There's been a lot of planning going into this by my team to make sure that the event is 100% ready to go on the first day. I can't wait.
Dean, we really appreciate your time and your insights about the NBL One on a national level, and we wish you all the best for the closeout to the season and those national finals that are upcoming.
Thanks, gentlemen. Keep doing a great job.
Appreciate it. Dean Anglin there, the National General Manager of the NBL One, here on the NBL One West Radio Show.
The SKG Radiology, official NBL One West Radio Show. When you depend on the right result, choose SKG Radiology, providing bulk billed Medicare rebatable services at all 20 locations.
Are you ready?
Are you ready?
This is the all-new NBL One West Radio Show. All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL One West. Check the NBL One West Radio Show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Podbean, and Podomatic.
NBL One West Radio Show, as we head towards Round 17 coming up this weekend. Things are shaping up for those final placings. Ben, having a look at the women's first of all, there's 3 games that stand out as really critical for those final placings.
Yeah, absolutely. None other than at the home of basketball, Bendat Basketball Stadium on Friday night. The Perry Lakes Hawks sitting in 8th right now, 8-10, and playing 6th, 9-8. The Lakeside Lightning Emma Clark, she's going to go off in this game. I'm calling it right now, Brett Costello. She's going to have a massive game, and the Perry Lakes Hawks are going to upset the Lakeside Lightning.
Ooh, that's a big call. Okay, like it, like it. What else we got there?
Well, we've got the Manager Magic taking on the Joondalup Wolves. It's first versus fourth. It's a preview, potentially, of our first round of the finals. The Joondalup Wolves, of course, only had that one loss this season to the Warwick Senators. The Manager Magic are going to want to bounce back after they're just getting over the line against, of course, the Goldfields Giants last week. This is a tough matchup. I like the Wolves.
Okay, love it, love it. All right, also there's one other one that's pretty critical.
In particular, we see third versus sixth. We see the Willetton Tigers taking on the Lightning at Lakeside Recreation Centre there in Bribber Lake. I think the Lakeside Lightning go 0-2 in the weekend. I think the likes of Alex Sharp and Des Kelly, the defense from Emma Gandini and Sophie Doran caused too many headaches for the Lakeside Lightning. They go 0-2 and they drop further down the ladder.
Well, in the men's then, there's four games that really stand out in terms of those final placings, at least anyway.
Well, it starts at Active West Stadium. The Geraldton Buccaneers sitting at first right now, 17-3. They take on the fifth place, 13-7. Let's make no mistake, their record isn't reflective of who they really have on their team. Zunik, Majuk, Caleb Davis, Cody Ellis, George Pearl, and then someone they've added from a knee injury right now, Brian Michaels, who looked like he hadn't skipped a beat. They go up there to Geraldton Buccaneers. I believe Coach Brennan, his ability to scout, sees an upset on the road for the Warwick Senators.
Okay, big call. What else we got there?
Well, the Manager Magic take on the Wolves. They had that tough loss on the weekend to the Goldfields Giants. Right now, it's third versus seventh. Huge game for the Manager Magic in regards to those seedings. No one wants to drop to eighth. If you drop to eighth, you have that potential of playing the Warwick Senators in that first round, in that knockout semi-final, where you have to go to Warwick and beat them on their home floor. No one wants to get stuck in there. I like, in that game, the Magic and the Wolves. I think the Magic at home get the job done.
And what else you got? A couple more to roll the round out?
Well, up in the mining town of Kalgoorlie, you've got the Goldfields Giants taking on the Cougars. The Goldfields Giants went 1-1 in their weekend last week. They had a strange loss to the Kalamunda Eastern Suns, unexpected. The Coburn Cougars, it's so important that they have multiple contributions early. They're used to field getting the numbers done. Carter Skaggs, if he can shoot better than 40% from the three-point line, they get the win up there at Neil Hansen Stadium. And then our final game of the round, the Rockingham Flames without Greg Heyer, who's on Commonwealth Games duty, all the best with him with the 3x3. And on international duties, Marshall Nelson, they take on the Redbacks, Gatorna, Timms, Grace. We've seen right now Joel Wagner sitting on the bench. We don't know if he's back or not. Is he carrying an injury? That's a tough game. Down there at the Rockingham Flames, I think Coach Petrick, with his ability to scout, they get the job done.
Well, all of those games are available, of course, over at mbl1.com.au if you'd like to get around to your local association, or for that matter, get one of the live streams, perhaps, either through the NBL One app or the website. Are you calling any of those games on the weekend, Ben?
I believe I am. I have a memory blank right now, but I'm more excited about next week's NBL One West radio show, where we have our award ceremony in lead up to the NBL One West Awards night.
We're going to try and get all three of us, yourself and Jordan, who have been contributors to the show this year, try and get everyone together for that one and pull a few extra special awards. Let's just say the non-official award ceremony.
Absolutely. Let's be clear about that. There will be no spoilers there, but we will have our starting fives for the men and the women, our most improved, our young players of the year, and a few other ones.
We'll be back on the other side of this to speak with Emma Gandini from the Willetton Tigers here on the NBL One West radio show.
Your health and welfare are important. At SKG Radiology, we know this. Take advantage of bulk billing all Medicare rebatable services across our WA practices. Some exceptions may apply, so please ask our friendly staff for more details. From X-rays to ultrasounds, low-dose CT scans and MRIs, no matter where you're referred to, when you depend on the right result, choose SKG Radiology. Visit skg.com.au.
Let's get this thing started.
The all-new NBL One West Radio Show.
NBL One West Radio Show, as promised, we're now joined by Willerton Tigers player Emma Gandini, now recently signed with the Perth Lynx as well. Welcome along.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks so much for having me on the show.
Yeah, look, we appreciate your time. Big news for you out of the Lynx camp, a reward for all of your hard efforts, perhaps?
Yeah, it is pretty exciting. I think I found out a week or so ago, so yeah, no, it's been good. Very excited about it.
Emma Gandini, Ben Pether here. As we were touching on there, so you're now a fully contracted player with the Perth Lynx. You've come back in season 2022 after being a DP with the Lynx. You had a great season last year. Your team won the grand final. How did it feel coming back? And does it feel a bit easier? Does the tempo feel a bit slower? Did you feel more confident coming back after that season with the Lynx?
Yeah, probably all the above. The first couple of games, it sort of took me a little bit to get into it. I did find it pretty difficult to sort of have missed the whole pre-season. I mean, I guess that's usual for some people, but it was my first year and there was a bit of a crossover between the Lynx and the Tigers season. So that was a bit of a challenge. And then I guess probably putting a bit of pressure on myself coming out of the Lynx into the season was another challenge. But yeah, I sort of feel like I've gotten back into where I want to be. The main, I guess, goal of mine is to just enjoy the game, have fun, play well, obviously win. It felt a little bit easier at times, but yeah, just feels like last year at the moment.
Well, congratulations to you. Starting the season with the Perth Lynx as a DP, and then you found yourself in the 10 for their final series, which unfortunately were just one stop short of winning the grand final. But for your experience with the Perth Lynx while you were that DP and you made your way into the 10, what was it different about playing with those professionals and sort of that step up day-to-day from training? What did you see and that exposure that you hadn't might have seen before?
Yeah, I guess it probably was the professionalism of most of the girls, just the work they put in sort of outside of trainings as well. Definitely more fast-paced. But yeah, I guess just the hard work that they put in on and off the court.
And for you and the Willerton Tigers right now, probably not the front runners that you were last season, sitting in third, but only had the 3 losses, 15 wins. You've got teammates like Alex Sharp and Des Kelly who continually hold up on the scoring end. For you, it's the defensive end. How are you guys feeling coming into the finals?
Yeah, we're feeling pretty good. The season's been a little bit chaotic. We've had a couple ins and outs. The last probably few weeks, we've sort of got our team, the same team each week, which has been good. But no, we're feeling good. We've got a couple tough games coming into the finals, being Lakeside and Coburn. But I think that should sort of get us ready for a good finals campaign.
And now that you've signed with the Perth Lynx, we know that there's a family connection with your manager, or should we say player agent, your sister Lauren. And she's obviously a former SBL player with the Coburn Cougars and the Willerton Tigers yourself. And she's on a new venture as well, and you're a key part of that.
Yeah, for sure. So that's Stella Agency. So her and Bree Mercer set that up, which, yeah, I'm actually pretty proud of everything they've done for it. I'm not sure if I was the reason why they set it up, but we'll just go with that. But no, I think there's definitely was a gap in the market for, I guess, female representation. So they actually organised a lunch yesterday morning. So I got to meet some of the other girls and it was really lovely. So yeah, it is a good thing that they're doing.
Well, Emma, good luck for the rest of the season. You mentioned some of those games coming up against the likes of Lakeside and Coburn. You were tested on the weekend against the Flames, but managed to get a good win there. We wish you the best for the last couple of rounds and into the finals.
Yeah, thank you so much, and thanks again for having me on the show.
Appreciate your time. Emma Gandini there from the Willerton Tigers, and now the Perth Lynx, of course, as well, here on the NBL One West Radio Show.
All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL One West.
Let's get this thing started.
The all-new NBL One West Radio Show.
NBL One West Radio Show. This time we're joined on the line by Luke Brennan. He's the assistant coach of the Perth Wildcats, but more importantly to us in the NBL One West, he heads up the Warwick Senators. Welcome along.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Now, I know you've recently, if we first put your hat on at the Wildcats, you've recently been stateside over at the Summer League, sort of checking things out over there. How was that experience? And what can you tell us about these new recruits that the Wildcats have got now as well?
Yeah, look, it was an unbelievable experience. You know, just to go over to Vegas in itself is an experience. But to be able to go and attend an event like the NBA Summer League, where, you know, there's just the best players in the world are consistently playing. You're literally in two little gyms that you can walk back and forth, go to the gym early in the morning and you leave late at night, and you're just walking around watching basketball. So that was really cool. It was great to see Luke Travers get out on the court for the Cavs and really show the world, I guess, what we at home kind of know and how good he is. So that was excellent. And then finally being able to start to network and start to look to recruit some players for the Perth Wildcats as well. So overall, it was a really, really good experience for us.
And this Brady Manick that some people may be familiar with sort of from the NCAA tourney and that type of thing, what was your experience of him, and did you have any sort of touch points and involvement in that recruitment?
Yeah, so we watched Brady pretty closely throughout the Summer League. He was playing with the Charlotte Hornets. From the first time we saw him, you could see how his game translates into the NBL or into the pro game. You know, he's a very, very good shooter, which is something that obviously any team could use. But us specifically with the way that we want to play, you know, we need guys that can shoot the basketball. But we also were pretty pretty attracted to his versatility, his ability to be able to make plays, his ability to be able to defend multiple different positions and multiple different areas on the court. And lastly, he's just a winner. He just has a knack of doing the little things that that tend to translate through to the biggest games of the year. So when, you know, after the more we watched, the more we started to clue in that he would be a guy that would really work within our system. And then, you know, we started the process of talking to him and his agents and getting to understand him as a kid. And, you know, he's a great worker. He's a great bloke. And I think he's going to be a really good addition to our team.
Luke Brennan, Ben Pether here. You talk about how the game translates and these different players who come out, and sometimes even in our NBL 1 West, it's not necessarily the guys who've come from big-name colleges or D1 schools who really translate and really kill our league. But from a recruiting point of view, for people listening and probably don't know the background of it, you can look at a stat sheet, but how important is the eye test when you're recruiting guys and seeing them play?
I mean, obviously the eye test is super important, especially it's something that sometimes can be forgotten because the game and the world is becoming more analytically driven. Sometimes the eye test can be pushed to the side a little bit. But for me, I like to look at, it's important that you have a clear understanding on what the person's role is going to be in what you're recruiting them for. And then you use the eye test to see how that would fit. So, you know, you look at, say, using your example of NBL 1 players translating up into the NBL, it's pretty rare that a player in the NBL 1 will be recruited to be a scorer up at the NBL level, because that's generally what the imports and the established NBL players are going to be doing. So you look at what other intangibles do players bring to the court? Can they play defense, one-on-one defense? Can they set great screens? Are they a good teammate? Are they hard workers? All those sorts of things. And so it's important that you have a good understanding of what a player's role you're trying to recruit for, and then you use the eye test to, I guess, cross-reference and tick that box.
We're going to sort of move sideways here, but continue with the talk of the eye test. Now, I saw a young George Pearl play about 12 weeks ago in our league, and he passed my eye test. And I literally described it to one of his teammates, Caleb Davis, on the show, as it was a boy who'd become a young man. And what I saw from him was this gangly young man last year. He sort of didn't necessarily... He had some good numbers a couple of times, but this year, he's a pivotal point. And a couple weeks ago, I watched you guys play against the Junior Light Wolves, and he was running the point for you guys. What do you see in George Pearl, and what do you think's been that change for him?
When I look at George Pearl, I see a great kid. I see someone who doesn't realize how good he could potentially be. And I think the growth that everyone's seeing in him this year is just his confidence growing game to game. You know, he's been one of the consistent guys that we've had this year. I believe he started every game for us this year. And he may be the only one, he might be the only one that started every game for us this year. So just that in itself will give him a whole lot of confidence. He's got a great natural feel. You know, he's starting to learn how to work hard. He's starting to learn how to, you know, lock in the scouts and he's potentially playing out of position as well. I don't know how much point guard he's actually had to play throughout his journey so far, but when you look at his skill set and his ability to see the floor and his size and athleticism and all of those things, I think he's an asset for us with the basketball in his hand. So, it's been one of the highlights of, I guess, the year for me personally, is just seeing the growth in him from when we first got him to where he is now, being a consistent starter on an NBL One team.
And of course, you find yourself right now the head coach of the Warwick Senators and assistant coach of the Perth Wildcats. Yourself, you've been on a journey for coaching and that coaching career of yours as well, being with the Joondalup Wolves for a number of years with Ben Ettrich, being with the assistant with the Wildcats, starting out in the video room there. It's one of the things where I actually chat to a lot of people around the league about, like yourself, Adam Ford, Jacob Chance, Ryan Petrick, who've made their way up the coaching ranks through the basketball WA scene, and who, I guess, we know the people you've been the assistants for, but who's really played an influence in your career progression?
Yeah, look, I could sit here and spend all night talking about the people that have influenced me. I know for me personally, I try to take something out of every coach that I meet and every coach that I'm lucky enough to be around. I try to look at what their strengths and weaknesses are and try to take away some of their strengths and add it to my coaching repertoire. It's actually really interesting with my current assistant coaches now. I was coached by Steve Charlton when I was a young fella playing basketball. Jason Cooperus actually gave me my first coaching job at under-16s Wobble at Joondalup. I was his assistant coach, and then he also gave me my first assistant coach as a state team in under-18s. And then Tom Witts I used to play with back at the Wolves as well. So it's really cool to be able to get involved with people that have helped me along my journey and allow them to continue to be a part of it. And then obviously, Ben Ettrich has been huge. He was the guy that gave me my chance at the NBL One level or the SBL level. He was the one that gave me my chance with the Australian Rollers team and taught me a lot of the skills that was required to help me get into the video room with the Wildcats. And then, throughout my journey with the Wildcats, obviously Trevor Gleeson was there, Adam Ford was there, Jacob Chance, Matt Nielsen, Scott Morrison last year was excellent. John Riley already so far has been a fantastic addition. Getting to work alongside Mike Kelly every day. Again, I'm sure I've missed a lot of people, but, I'm very, very lucky in my journey to have been surrounded by some great coaches and even better blokes.
Well, that's an extensive list there, many with many accolades on their resumes. You mentioned Ben Ettrich Friday night at HBF Arena, Joondalup. He takes on his old side, the Joondalup Wolves. You guys are traveling up to Geraldton come Saturday night. That's against the top of the table clash against the Geraldton Buccaneers. Your record right now, you're sitting just out of the top four. That's a big game in regards to the final placings come the business end.
Yeah, it's a great test for us. One thing I learned from Trev throughout his time is you want to be playing the toughest teams in the lead into the playoffs, because one, you get a good gauge on where you're at as a team. But also, secondly, it really sharpens you up for the playoffs. You don't want to be having easier games leading in. You want to be sharp and you want to be battle-tested going in. And, there's no greater challenge than playing Geraldton up in Geraldton, especially with the squad that they've put together this year. So, we're really looking forward to the challenge this weekend.
And where do you feel that you are at the moment? Because you've had quite a bit of ins and outs, and then Majuk probably still settling into the lineup and finding his place as well.
Yeah, look, it's been a really up and down year for us. I think, obviously, we have a very talented list. And part of the challenge when you assemble a talented team is, how do you get everyone to buy into their roles? How do you get everyone to get comfortable in their roles? And then how do you get everyone to excel in their roles? And as you mentioned, we have had some injuries and some people coming and going throughout the year. So it has been a challenge to try and find that consistency. But we had an up and down weekend this weekend. We were thoroughly beaten by a really good Coburn team on Friday night. And then we came out and managed to squeak a win up at Lakeside. So I think our best basketball is definitely up there with, the Geraldtons and the Rockinghams and the Joondalups and the like in the league. But, You know, for us, it's about trying to put together 40 minutes of Senators basketball as consistently as possible.
Luke Brand, we really appreciate your time on the NBL One West Radio Show. Thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Luke Brennan, assistant coach there of the Perth Wildcats and head coach, of course, of the Warwick Senators in our NBL One West here on the NBL One West Radio Show.
At SKG Radiology, we care about your health and welfare. This is why we bulk bill Medicare rebatable services across all 20 SKG locations. Some exceptions may apply. Ask our friendly staff for details. Visit skg.com.au.
The all-new NBL One West Radio Show.
NBL One West Radio Show closing things out for this week. Thanks once again to you, Ben Pether, for all of your input.
Thank you very much, Brett Costello. It's been really enjoyable. And stay safe on our roads with all this wet weather.
Definitely. Some great chats with the likes of Luke Brennan. His insights into some of the recruiting going on at the Wildcats and stuff, really great.
Yeah, it's just been really interesting to see his progression and his journey and how he's enjoying working with people who've sewed into his journey throughout the year.
Emma Gandini, a good chat from her with the Willerton Tigers and now with the Perth Lynx. And even Dean Anglin, he couldn't give away too much, obviously, about the future yet, but there's certainly some big things going on the NBL One standing sort of nationwide, I guess.
And it's going to be really interesting to see which two WA teams will be there at the NBL One official inaugural finals.
Don't forget, you can check out the NBL One West Radio Show on your favourite podcast provider, whether it be Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the likes of Podomatic, TuneIn, any of those, you can catch us there. Thanks once again, Ben. We'll see you next week, hopefully.
Yeah, look forward to it.
Missed a part of the show or wanting more? Check the NBL One West Radio Show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Podbean, and Podomatic. Listen or download in your own time and check out the podcast exclusives for more.